Well, there's a gentleman that I think is going to help us. Well, he's going to help us think about it differently anyway. Dr. Paul Fashadi is an author. He's worked, well, with all kinds of different people. He's studied mind therapy and personal development, life coaching. He's worked with the Ministry of Defence. He's done all sorts of things. So he's written a book called Be Surprised, Own Your Courage and Self-Trust. He's on the telephone now. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi.
Now, this is an interesting bit here, because it's supposed to be the most miserable day in the world today, isn't it?
Yeah. Very appropriate time to speak about it.
I think so. No, we don't like misery on this show. We like positivity and being, you know, full of life. But there are some times, you know, some people don't get such a good start. And there are some days where you think, right, yes, starting the new year, let's do all of this and do all of that. Mine was really to enjoy myself more, which I don't know whether it's possible, but I do. But really, the mind is a very interesting, isn't it? The mind controls us.
That's right. It does. It's a tall order to try and steal the mind, you know?
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
So how have you approached this subject of you know, helping people to own their courage and self-trust?
Well, to keep it short at start, because I know you've got a long program and I don't want to sort of hold you up, but basically, the thing with me is I'm kind of highly dyslexic as well. So I never did much reading, although I even did economics and worked in the markets and so on and so forth. But basically I was more into doing things to experience it rather than talking about it. I had a few sort of, I was my first client basically.
Mm.
And, the long and short of this is that, the mind is complicated to try and get a rein of, you know, it'd be like a big dog sort of taking you for a walk and, you can't sort of pull it back or rein it back. But it all stems from something really simple, which is how can you be at ease? You know, so what can you do to be at ease? And the number one driver of that is whether or not our mind is actually spinning off or spinning all kinds of webs or being really, really agitated, mostly moving towards worry and fear.
Yes, because it's, you know, some people are worried and they do have a fear of, you know, certain things, but it's not being frightened of snakes or anything like that, is it? It's much deeper than that within ourselves in order to be proactive in our lives every day.
That's true.
Does it all start, though, sort of back in our childhood?
Yeah, yes, it does, because, you know, you have a situation whereby you have, not just even childhood, conditioning, you know, from school to, I mean, when you were a child, you know, as you know, I'm sure you've read many, 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 many books where, you know, you're kind of loved whatever you do, you know, even if you peed in your pants or you, you know, you're loved anyway. But then suddenly one day, nobody tells you, it just stops. And you kind of have to then, as a child, be in performance mode to get attention and get love, you know. So it kind of starts that way without realizing.
Yeah.
So you find your own little tricks of getting attention or getting your way.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get back what you lost, you know, in a way. So it's more moving towards, that's how the old mind delusion, old mind sort of drama, old mind webbing kind of begins. And then you have all the different patterns setting in the subconscious without you realizing. So somebody could just say something and it would trigger off a reaction, trigger off a conspiracy theory in the mind about how things are when they're not, you know?
Hmm. How long does it take us to develop this kind of, you know, negative conditioning? Is it when we are young, without us realising? Is it something that just sort of suddenly happens, or do we kind of like, you know, pull ourselves into negativity over a period of time when we're younger?
Well, the thing is, you know, I don't think most people actually realize how it actually happens. But the main thing is this. It's often self-directed because we want to fit in. Because generally when you're younger, you know, you have a lot of set of rules and guidance you will have to follow. Because you need people more than until you became sort of more an adult and you can do things yourself and go off and get your own job and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole condition is towards about fitting in and trying to follow rules and things and so on and so forth and not having much of a choice, even though, you know, it seems that we did when we were younger, but the truth is we actually didn't have much of a choice. Because we live under somebody's guidance or our parents' roof or in school, and you know, bells are being rung, you have to go to class at this time. Everything is kind of controlled, so you can't, you know, stray away too much to be your own person, your own genuine person. So you kind of like have to leave a certain image for a while, and that is a kind of a way of conditioning without realizing it.
So who have you directed your book at?
Well, my book is mostly directed at anybody that wants to really find a way to understand how to observe their mind and how to catch their mind not letting them spin off. And also how to understand the pragmatic things that can actually bring you back. There's many things I've been reading on the bigger things you could do. I mean, like I do yoga too and so on and so forth, and going on holiday and having a bath and so on and so forth. You know, you could do many things like that. But you have to make time for that. Well, what happens if you don't have time? What do you do then? And most people always say they don't have time, even though they have time. So this book is really about anything you can do in 30 seconds or 30 minutes. And if you generally had enough of not, you know, of being agitated or being easily wound up or being easily taken away from your genuine self or not being so creative or repeating somebody else's pattern or somebody else's blueprint because you can't find your own original print because you're kind of regurgitating what somebody else has already said or done, because that's accepted more rather than your own unique signature. If you want to do something more original and you actually want to be more your genuine self and not spin off in the mind, then this will work for you, because it's very pragmatic. I'm more about pragmatic things rather than actually theories, because I was not very much about, you know, I'm not very much into, you know, the theoretical things much. I mean, most things, if I wanted to do something or if I wanted to know something, I'll go sign up and learn how to do it. You know, I learn more that way and find out more streamlined things that work better that way.
Sure, you know? Yeah, because there are, you know, a great many of us actually that do learn by doing as opposed to, you know, sitting there and having to try to absorb something and read something.
That's right, that's right. I mean, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Okay, a real simple example. Like, okay, I discovered this by accident when I was training somebody with the army, and I just think about something original. How can you... The issue is this. Look, the mind talks all the time. You can't really do much about that. Now, the question is what he talks about and how he chatters all the time, and especially when we're doubting ourselves or when we're agitated or whatever. Is it really true? How do you objectively, you know, get to hear yourself talk? Now, usually you have the skill and the conditioning to filter what comes to me from the TV, from the radio, and you can say, no, I don't really buy into that. Yeah, I buy into that. I can get, you know, you can sort of play with that.
Yeah.
But how do you do it for yourself with the voices you hear in your head? How do you do that? How do you get to observe that so you actually stop yourself spinning off before it seats itself and then you can't control that anymore or you can't do much about that anymore or it becomes personal and yet it's not that personal or it's not even as big as that? How do you stop yourself before you go too far? You know, one of the most practical ways I came up with, which really works very effectively, is, you know, the audio recorder we normally have for recording ideas.
Yeah.
If you actually use that and, you know, nobody has to listen to what you have to say, nobody has to judge you or analyze you or blame you because it's just you and the recorder. So you could say something on that recorder about whoever, about whatever, in the most dramatic way you think about it in your head without holding back. And nobody's watching you, nobody's going to judge you. And when you let it go on that recorder and you play it back and you ask a simple question, is this genuinely what I really feel is true? Or do I feel, hopefully, that this is what I really want to say or this is what I really feel about this rather than what I think? You will probably find yourself, most of my clients start to laugh when they hear themselves. Not just because of the fact that they don't like the sound of their voice, you know, but mostly also because they get surprised at how over-dramatized the whole thing has been in their head, and they don't hear it until they actually hear it when it comes out.
Yeah.
And this stops them dead in the waters, and straight away half your problem is gone without even starting.
All right, interesting stuff. Be surprised, own your courage and self-trust. Does instinct come into this?
Yes. That's, they call it instinct, they call it natural inner guide, they call it inner spirit guide. It's called many, many names. But the most important thing is I don't really buy into tagging much. I more prefer the experience of it.
Mm. See, very often when I talk to creative people on the show, mm-hmm. and I ask them, you know, so, you know, what inspires you? When do your ideas come for you? And many people say they're either on the road or moving in some way, and they just kind of get a cosmic download. I call it a cosmic download because that's where ideas come from.
True.
And that runs through people's lives so far, you know, or appears to the people that I speak to, creative people on this show. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, within ourselves, how do we know when we are trusting ourselves, when we are listening to ourselves?
Well, do you want to know something interesting? The things, when you get into knowing, I mean, when you know something, you don't really, it just happens in a very simple way. It's not complicated. And you don't see people saying, oh, I think. They normally say, I know. They don't know why. They just do. Now, how do you get into this? Well, first of all, you can't get into that without really being comfortable with all your senses. That means all your key natural senses, if you want to be all scientific. I mean, your visual, your touch, your what you feel, yeah. which is actually more important. And to do that, you kind of have to get into the practice of getting familiar with yourself. Like, you know, I mean, I do yoga, or, you know, if you can't do yoga, you know, doing the things you love or yeah. things you enjoy that doesn't harm your body too much, you know, or it's not too addictive, you know. But and then once you get into these habits, or going for a walk, or going for a jog, or swimming in the sea, or whatever you do that brings you harmony, you know, once you start to get, you know, because most of your clarity or your instincts will get more, or the muscles for your instincts that come naturally will get more worked up if you actually go within. If you don't do anything to go within and just mostly come from outside, your instincts will be more towards what you're afraid of rather than or what you're anxious about or what you're afraid might disturb your guarantees or your status quo on stability, which we know that doesn't really exist because it's always changing, you know. So I think the most important thing is to find a way to be at ease. And there are many ways to get there. There are many, many things you can do to be at ease
mm-hmm.
that applies to your own personality or your own style or your own way. You know, some people find being at ease driving their fast car because it calms them down, you know.
Yeah. But isn't that kind of like a material thing? I mean, isn't it just nice to kind of just feel happy? I mean, a lot of people say to me, God, why are you always so happy? And I just feel that way. Not through any particular reason. I'm just happy.
Yeah, I know.
The point where some people go, God, you stop it.
I know. They say, oh, I feel bad hanging around you because you're so happy. They said about me too. But you want to know what I find with most of my clients when things shift, and even friends and family. When most people are doing what they love, most of the time in their lives, you find that everything else kind of becomes a challenge. It doesn't become a problem. And so the approach is different and they're more at ease because most of the day of your life, even if it's work and you enjoy what you're doing at work or you find something you love in your job or whatever it might be, you will find yourself being more at ease. And when you're more at ease and things come at you, they're not a problem. They become a kind of a challenge. And the old attitude towards a challenge is different from something that you deemed a problem. Most things we're not interested in, or most things that are a distraction that don't really stimulate us become a problem because it's not something that moves us in any way. So I would say find things you love to do and do them more. And you find yourself being more happy often than not.
How long should it take us to be able to, you know, embrace a change in our lives to make ourselves feel more at ease?
Well, it really depends on the individual, really. Most people get there quicker. Like people I've worked with, you know, in about 6 weeks, they're good to go. But it's kind of, I take some radical approaches sometimes when, you know, I work with clients that have a really, really busy mind and they can't, you know, they're really anxious all the time and they're suspicious all the time or they feel there's a sort of conspiracy going on all the time or they're highly intelligent. Logical-wise, but not really emotional-wise. You know what I mean? They can't get in touch with what they feel about something. They can get in touch with what they think about something, and there's a big difference. You know, when you get in touch with what you feel about something, you tap into what's relevant in your thinking, you know, a lot more. But generally, it can be short. It can be as short as 2 weeks if you are ready for it. And usually that happens when people have had enough of suffering of some form or they're sick, you know, and they're consistently being sick, be it through some sort of chronic pain, you know, sometimes cancer or beginning stages of cancer or some other extreme scenario or some other horrible experiences, like some of the people I work in the army that have major experiences from being, you know, going to the war and the aftermath and they're young. And so your body is literally hurting. So you have no choice but to deal with it because everything else, you know, is closing in. And you, so you've got to find a way to either let it out or survive, really. So that is the most time most people switch, you know, because change itself is very short. But the issue is the procrastination before the change itself. That's the problem.
All right. Well, interesting stuff. Paul, have you got a website of your own?
Yes, I do. For the book, I do. Yes, yeah. And for the for what I do as well, I do. Yes, it's it has my name, paulfasciadi.com, or the coaching stuff I've been doing for many years now, smartfulsuccess.com.
Smartfulsuccess.com.
Yes.
Okay, smartfulsuccess. We like the idea of that.
Yeah.
Well, lots of luck with the book. Be
Thank
surprised.
You very much.
Own your courage and self trust. Totally inspirational. And dipping into a few of the chapters, very interesting stuff. And you really bare your soul as well about you, because you're not afraid of that, are you?
No, not at all. Not at all. The thing is, we all have our dad. You know, I've had my sort of dark days and good days, and we've all experienced many things. And I think, I know people worry a lot about their image and so on and so forth, but, you know, after a while where you don't really mind what, you know, I mean, if you can just be yourself, then you have to be okay to share things that are, you know, personal about you and things that are not. Just be open about most things and go from there. Nobody's perfect. So, you know, it just makes connecting with people easier. And it makes one also more genuine, which means you'd be better at doing whatever you want to do, your work-wise, you know, as well. So I don't mind. It doesn't bother me.
Within your professional opinion, do you think that social networking is having any bearing on people becoming, you know, even more that they feel they've got to keep up with something? Because you notice that many people are kind of like every second they're reporting it to the world of exactly what they're doing.
I know. I think in some ways it's just because people like to connect and they don't want to be lonely, I guess. And so it's good to share, but there is something not authentic about that way. Because it's more when you see someone and you have a direct you're in the same sort of close proximity with someone and you're talking to them or you touch them or you hug them or whatever, that has more genuinity than when you do it over the internet, you know. Don't get me wrong, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook or anything, but I probably use more Skype than whatever. But the bottom line is, it can be a bit false after a while. I mean, more about the image rather than about genuine connectivity, you know. And that can defeat the whole purpose of you know, being sincere or being happy, because it seems false. But I mean, after a while, when do you stop? Some people even forget that they're still running their image. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people have a lot of issues with fitting in and doing everything to fit in, and then they get into anxiety when they're not popular anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Because they don't know when the image element stops and when their genuine reality kicks in. Well, when does that happen? Or is it just about the image all the time?
Interesting stuff. All right, Paul, fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Paul Fashad, Fashade.
Thank you for that.
Thank you so much. And be surprised, own your courage and self-trust. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely talking to you.
Thank you very much, Sue. I appreciate it.